Hi, welcome to the podcast. Today's recording is from a few nights ago. Amanda and I just took a walk all over our town and we just visited about the difference between consumption and nourishment. And it's just such an interesting topic to us and we keep kicking it around. I hope you enjoy it. Also, if you are any men in your life want more information on the Adventure Sela coming up September 30th through October 2nd. Email us at creativesela@gmail.com or DM us on our Instagram. Get a hold of us and let us know if you'd like to be part of that. We also have another Sela coming up in November. You can let us know if you want to be put on the mailing list for information on that. I hope you enjoy this conversation. We have just loved teasing out all these topics that are just so important to us right now and that we are loving visiting, talking, and sharing it with you guys. We're out for a nice summer night walk. It's been hot as balls all day. And now our baby won't sleep. So Amanda and I are taking him for a walk around the college campus. And we've been wanting to have this conversation for a while now, but there hasn't been very much time. What have we been doing? Tell the people.
So busy. Well, we've been camping and playing up at Wallowa Lake and since the Sela, I feel like we've been running hard now that it's summertime officially.
Yeah. Running hard, trying to get our passel of children all tired out so they'll drop at night and not odiously cry for screens during the day. We're like, no, we're gonna swim and you're gonna run. It's gonna be awesome. Okay, well, it's happy 4th of July week.
Yep.
Almost. And someone is lighting a firecracker right next to us.
As we speak, and we walk by.
God bless America, such as it is. What we want to talk about is nurturing.
Nourishment. Sure, we can talk about nurturing.
Nurturing and nursing, and we could talk about honestly any of those things for a while. But let's talk about nourishment.
Sure.
So I just have been thinking, we've been talking a lot about the difference between being like full and being nourished. And some of my most full times in life where I'm just shoving my face out of like eating my feelings or overeating are like, I'm like at my emptiest. I know you can't relate, but it's a lonely road out there for us. And so we're trying to think about like non-food nourishment and what makes a meal just like go from fuel to actual nourishment. What do you think about that?
I don't know. Yeah, we were kind of talking about that. Like, there definitely seems like there's this difference between consumption just for the need of filling a void inside of you, or maybe just eating in a panic, or consuming anything.
Right.
In a panic because of maybe this feeling of scarcity or
boredom.
Boredom, comparison, unhappiness,
right,
all of those things. But I also, I don't know how to even wrap words around it, but I know there's been times when maybe we've been at a concert or experienced like a beautiful meal that you walk away from, or even just, like going to Sedona and driving through that Oak Canyon highway and down into the valley. It's like you feel your soul be stuffed in a way that doesn't make you feel sick.
Right.
So that's what we're just trying to like kind of kick around and think about, like, what's the difference between that and how do we create more space for that with nourishing ourselves and nourishing others in the Sela community?
Right. Well, I think that consumption is just so rampant, and it's not always bad, but like, you know, the difference between like an intentional fun movie night and just binging because, like, you're afraid of being alone with your thoughts and you want to numb out. Or, like, even we were talking about in church, big, you know, it's kind of gross sometimes. Okay, let me start over. How much we are like consumers. We just show up with our chubby little selves and we plop in the chair and we're like, give me something I like. I want music I like. I want a cute, snazzy teacher and I want to go home.
And I'm going to slurp on a Frappuccino the entire service.
And it has to be all the things I agree with. Instead of like, okay, yes, there might be a service where we just sit and we're fed, but like, what is it about the communion and community of sitting around a table or participating in like Eucharist and like actually breaking bread with people? And in a non like spiritual Christian sense, just like nourishment versus numbing. I don't know if it's savoring that makes the difference. Like if you slow down and savor like a beautiful piece of art rather than just flipping through your phone as fast as you can to see what's next on it or something.
That's true. Like presence probably plays a huge part to it.
That sound is the sprinklers we're walking through.
I feel good.
Yeah, it does. Sorry if I'm huffing and puffing. I just ate one of your cookie balls and it's pretty heavy, if I have to be honest.
Like Freya's gluten free.
Yeah, they were a little dense, but they were real good.
They caught in the throat. I'm serious. They were heavy.
I didn't realize they were the GFs. All right. So the reason we're talking about it more is we really want to create more of that. Like we've noticed in the retreats we do, and hopefully the supper clubs we do more often, there's a difference between sitting down to a meal and eating so that you can go to the next session at a conference and like creating this wide open space and layering texture and flavors with the right music in the background and kind of just being super intentional with like love. This sounds so silly, but like loving your heart towards the people you want to feed.
That does not sound silly at all.
And I think I see this come over these people when they come to the meals that we do that, where we've been like praying over each name and we've been like thinking about each person, and they sit down and they just almost melt because someone's just like feeding them food that's made with so much love.
I think like going back to what you were saying just about like it's sounding cheesy, but it's not, like when there's love in the middle of it in that nourishment. Cause I mean, can you really like give nourishment without love? Maybe you can, but that's just another aspect that I'm thinking of, and like how important nourishment was to God and in the New Testament. And like, obviously it meant something to the disciples because they wrote a lot about food and eating food with him and experiencing things with him, you know? So that's what I'm thinking of, and as far as like that encapsulating that thought, like there has to be intention and love poured into it.
Yeah.
Is that what you were kind of aiming for?
No, wrong. That's nothing even close to what I'm thinking about. No, yeah, I think you're 100% right. So what are a couple of like non-eating, non-food nourishments that you find over and over again just make you full and still when you kind of feel spun up?
Well, I think for me, like nature and beauty, like finding beauty in nature for sure. Music has a way of doing that. Conversations with friends. And then also, I was thinking about this too, like one of our friends had a birthday recently. Hi Molly. And she wanted all of her friends to come and have like a good old-fashioned game of kickball. Mm-hmm. And Wade and I went with our kids, and we just played with like our kids and all of our friends who are about our age, and then also like grandparents. And we had this like I mean, I feel like everybody probably peed their pants or hurt themselves at some point that night, but we laughed and laughed and laughed so hard. And that was a form of nourishment too, like laughing in community and like genuinely belly laughing.
Like
that was
play.
Yeah, that yeah. was nourishing for sure to the soul and so healing. Like yeah. where Wade and I both had like come to that party just like so tense about a lot of things and then been like, okay, no, that's a big deal. It's going to work out. It's going to be fine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt that when we played wiffle ball, like with the kids this last weekend, seeing like the guys act like kids and the kids like being so intense and wound up and like crying and then laughing. Yeah. But you and me and our friend Jessica were like, there are not enough sports bras or maxi pads to duct tape this together, but we are having
we're
fun.
We're still going to have fun.
I'm oh tired. My gosh. It was so fun. And I was bad at it, but it made me feel full. I think something that I always feel whenever I'm feeling that anxious antsiness that makes me want to throw crackers in my face is
<M&Ms. laughs>
I know. Which I'm not denouncing that. Like, I literally think there's a time and place for being like, this is what I need right now. But when I'm just trying to numb or fill a void, and that can be, yeah, like I've done it with wine, whiskey, let's be honest. I tried to zhuzh myself up and seem more ladylike. I've done it with food. I've done it with friends. I've done it with all kinds of stuff. But when I feel that feeling of like I'm empty and I just need to be filled, I lately have been just moving myself to water, whether it's my shower, my tub, the river, a lake.
I love that.
The sound of water. Something about it is very stabilizing for me and actually makes me feel contented in a way that I don't get that often. So I need to move somewhere next to water, I've decided. Also, music, always, and that's something we always talk about. Laughter. This last year when things were so hard, whenever I would just talk to a friend and end up laughing, I remember just like putting my hands on my face and like being like, oh, that felt so good. Like, I didn't know if I would laugh this hard again. And there's something about that that makes you feel, oh my gosh, he lives there. And those are just micro practices that you can, if you have a million kids crawling all over you and whatever, you can like get yourself to some water, or you can turn on some kind of water. You can turn on some kind of sound. I think the air in our house changes when we put on some kind of music or like, walking. And I've been completely revolutionized by box breathing, which isn't nourishment, but I think it actually allows me to listen to what I'm actually hungry for, you know, instead of just feeling frantic. So, sometimes I think it's filling to push my body a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I feel like really relieved from anxiety or stress if I kind of get out and sweat or do something.
Okay. So we've talked about this like idea of sort of being in a river and being good receivers and then turning around and letting that flow into other people. Like, you're excellent at this, so you're the one I want to ask about it. Like, what is a way that you feel like you can nourish someone who just looks like a shell?
Well, I feel like it's going to go back to food.
Yeah,
every
no, that's
time,
good.
You know, like, I can make you a meal, or I can be a present listener, an active listener, you know, in someone's life. But yeah, I feel like if there's a way that I can love somebody well, it's making them a meal or having them over and just trying to like feed their physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a kitten in front of us.
Aww.
Oh, there's a few in this little garden.
Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't the guys just die of delight if we brought some baby kitties
yes,
home?
What?
Oh, my gosh. They're tiny.
Okay. Sorry.
No, you're
what
good.
What about you?
I really... this might not be appreciated, but I like to move into people when... maybe they feel... untouchable or distant. I really like to touch people, like hug them or hold them.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
Sometimes you feel someone's body just kind of relax a little bit. And sometimes that's not the right thing, but sometimes I don't know. I just feel this instinct to like, don't move away, move in, touch them. So hopefully that's helpful and there aren't people out there wanting a restraining order. We'll see. I also do think that, yeah, food is always beautiful. I like to just let someone sit and like be. I've had people in my life who have just like been on my couch or at my table while I'm like doing my thing around my house with my kids.
Yeah.
And, just having this space where it's like, you don't have to be anything for anyone and you're welcome to just be here and be a part of this, like, I don't know, moving operation that is our household.
Mm-hmm.
And you're welcome into it. And I really am, I really, really like being a place where people say something and get something out of their body that they feel like they can't say out loud. And once they do, just really purposefully not being shocked, being like, okay.
Yeah, not reacting.
And because that's the biggest gift people have given me. Is when I'm like, I can't say it. It's too hard. It's too disappointing. And when someone's just like, all right, well, we can work with that, you know? And so I don't know. Those are a few ways that I've felt like literal tension and fear drain out of my body when someone that is that for me. And I kind of am purposed to try and be that to my family and my friends and the people in our community. I don't know if that's nourishing, but it feels a little bit like there's not enough of it around, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it made me think of another way that we, I would say it is nourishing, and another way that we maybe create a safe space and also nourish people's souls without food. And I do this for my kids and we do this with the Sela, is like just setting out watercolor and paper and paints. And I've had that too, where I've had people who are having a hard time, or my kids who are having a rough afternoon, and then at the Sela, where we just set the opportunity to be creative or to try and just either paint your feelings or to
mix colors together,
something, and it just distracts your brain in a way a little bit, but also like unlocks something inside of you. So
that's true. Actually, color really nourishes my brain when I see like colors mixed and rich colors. I like feel like it really does something for me. Do you have a poem, my lady?
Well, I sent you a few on your phone.
Okay, let me see if I can.
I sent a few quotes.
Access them.
A priest and a poem.
Would you like to choose one to read?
Let's see. Yes. Let's see. Well, this one might be a good one, by Robert Farah Capon, and I don't know if I'm saying his middle name right, but, or his, yeah, I don't know if that's his double last name, but he was an Episcopalian priest and American author, and also a chef, and he loves food, so I like anything he has to say, really.
Right. Sounds like my kind of
I know. So here's a quote from him, kind of about food and nourishment. To be sure, food keeps us alive, but that is only its smallest and most temporary work. Its eternal purpose is to furnish our sensibilities against the day when we shall sit down at the heavenly banquet and see how gracious the Lord is. Nourishment is necessary only for a while. What we shall need forever is taste. So that was a fun one by him.
That's beautiful.
Taste.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. I love that things are going to taste good in heaven. Sally Lloyd-Jones.
Oh, I just heard Jesus Storybook Bible podcast, and she brings on all kinds of people to talk. And she had a handbag designer from Colombia who lives in New York now, and he was just talking about how incredible God is and how much he loves shape and color and texture, too. And that's a way of honoring and delighting in who God is creating these handbags. So,
yeah. Oh, man. That makes me happy.
I know.
I can be a Christian for another day. There's a place for me in this world. Oh, I love it. Yeah, our heart really is to, like, kind of capture that spirit and really nurture it within ourselves and within each other and within our people and our friend groups so that we can put together these nights and these experiences where you can come and just be nurtured and have your senses woken up and use other people's talents. You know, if they want to step out and try to play music or to read a poem or whatever. And so it's this interactive feast that I imagine and I hope heaven will be like, you know, in a small way. Also on the books is the dudes have our awesome place in Donnelly that we just got home from. And they're going to be taking the paddle boards, mountain bikes, their running shoes. And we will be staying nearby and cooking up all the best food for the adventure sale. And it is every level of fitness and ability. There's something for everyone. And there will be rest. There will be, you know, guided adventures, if that's what you're into. And just a lot of really good thoughtful prompts and time to really sit with it. And then just some community. So yes. Ladies, if you have a dude in your life, I hate that it has to be like segregated men and women, but it just is a comfortable experience for us girls so far with the venues we have to be really as loose as we want to be and not have men wandering around the cabin. So as far as it is right now, that's
it's
how it
is.
It's
just kind of how everything's fallen
it's
into
just
place
how it's done it.
Where
yeah.
All women have signed up for the creative and all men have signed up for the adventure. But yeah. We'll just see what happens in the future.
Yeah. And actually Cody and Wade just have like this awesome ability to draw people into adventure and get them excited to push themselves a little bit. And I've watched Cody do that and Wade with like friend after friend. And so it's really neat to see them putting these together. But we hope you show up. We hope you sign up. There's room, and it's going to be at the end of the summer, end of September.
First weekend of October.
Yeah.
Last day of September, first weekend of October.
And we already have been poring over some fall recipes for us because we are going in November before the holidays in like the thick of fall. We're going to be going up to Wallowa Lake, I believe, and we already are kind of daydreaming about what we're going to be making for you guys. There'll be day passes, there'll be weekend passes, and it's just going to be a beautiful time. Like, we really can't wait to nourish you guys. Anything else you want to say? Have you been nourished by anything this week?
Yeah, oh my gosh, yes, just going up to the lake, and I just keep thinking again about the color of the water and the way the sun was hitting it. Just friendship and laughter and good food and M. Crow pizza. I mean, they're gonna nourish me no matter what.
Oh my gosh, they have the morel pizza and it's just too good.
Yeah, and then just even tonight I was telling you about sitting under the foothills by Pioneer Park, and there's the whole hills are full of these white cows, and it's a hot summer night, and it's just beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. I think what's been nourishing me, well, I just got a paddleboard, ladies and gents, and it's a thing to see. It really is. But yeah, we were paddleboarding over this water that was like this intense emerald green. And I just wanted to like bottle it up. I couldn't stop looking at it. And that kind of, I don't know, it made me feel special because I was like, that's my favorite color. And only God knows the exact shade of my favorite color. And it's very hard to find like the right perfect color. That's not too much of anything. Side note, we were paddleboarding and my friend Jessica said in a small quiet tone, "Hey guys." And it scared me so bad that I thought there was people behind us that I did a back dive off of my paddleboard and now I can barely turn my neck. I'm a little stiff. First nothing of summer, nothing like seeing a 39-year-old woman in her tankini back dive off her paddleboard and then watching all my nephews watch me struggle to flop back on my paddleboard.
With very compassionate.
They kind of all looked smiles at me with pity, which was worse than anything. I wish they were laughing. So that happened. Okay, what's been nourishing me a little bit is just like, yeah, laughter. I have been feeling a little bit like hopeful and a little bit lost and a little bit mournful and a little bit happy. But sometimes it's good to just not take yourself so seriously. And we started the office over at the very beginning. And Cody and I have just been like giggling like little schoolgirls at night. And it feels so good just to be like, ah, like I do. I go to sleep feeling full. Like that ministered to me, Lord. And I just love it. And I've been listening to comedy podcasts too, like actual stand-up comics talking about how they write their jokes and where they get inspiration from and stuff. And I just love it. Makes me really happy. They're
so
doing the Lord's work.
So my next Sayla, Lou might be doing routine.
Yeah. Oh, no. No. I'm a recipient. I feel like the minute I stood up on a stage, everything would fly out of my head. But for now, I'll just use the podcast as my little stand-up comedy. All right, well, I'm out of breath. We're going to get up this hill. We'll talk to you all soon.
Good night.
Good night.